So, somebody tell me what we talked about last week. Nobody knows.
Not talking in church.
That did happen. Okay, not quite. Hey, I think Roxy's trying to talk. Yeah, we did talk about that for sure. Okay, so who was the main topic of our story, though?
Peter.
That's a heck of an answer. Danica gets brownie points. So, we're going round two for Peter, okay, this week. My question is this. Let me see by raising your hands, how many of you have ever messed up big time? Like, huge. All right, so Ivy and Ethan are perfect. The rest of us are dirty, filthy sinners. So, keep that in mind as we go through this, okay? We're in the company of a bunch of people who have messed up big time, all right? So you're not alone. So we've all made mistakes, but here's something I've learned in my time, my relationship with Jesus, okay? Your past mistakes do not prevent God from using you, okay? Okay, amen. Sorry. Your past mistakes do not prevent God from using you. So I don't care what it is that you have done, what stupid mistake you've done. First of all, none of the mistakes you've made can even come close to comparing to mine, and God's still using me. Okay? So, here's the thing. This is why I like Peter's story. Is because we see time and time again where Peter screws up, does something dumb, and God still uses him over and over and over again. So where we're going to pick up tonight, maybe, if we can ever get there, where we're going to pick up tonight is after Jesus has already been resurrected, but in this process, what happened right before Peter, before Jesus got crucified? What did Peter do? What? No. He denied Jesus. There we go. Okay. All right. So Peter denied Jesus three times. So after Jesus is raised from the dead, I think Peter has this uh-oh moment of like, oh my goodness, he actually was who he said he was. So what Peter's done is he has gone into like this shame mode. That he's not good enough. He's given up on his relationship with Christ. So he goes back fishing. Okay? Remember very back when Jesus called the disciples, he called Peter. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus said, hey, cast your net, you know, lay down your nets, come follow me, yada, yada, yada. Peter was one of those. All right? So Peter has gone back to that. Because he's like, obviously, I'm not worthy of being a disciple anymore, so I'm going back to fishing. It's going to be a long night and a long lesson. So, Jesus shows up on the shore. Okay, they're out fishing. He asks them, hey, have you caught anything? They turn around and say they haven't. All right, let's all stop and stare at Malachi because that's way more important. Okay, so they're fishing. Jesus is on the shore. He asks them, hey, have you caught anything? They say no. Jesus tells them, hey, cast your nets on the other side. They catch an unbelievable amount of fish. Okay? So, John looks at Peter and says, oh my goodness, it is Jesus. Peter, in all of his brilliance, does what Peter does. Jumps out of the boat and takes off swimming. He's like, I'm not going to wait for the boat to get there. I'm not doing this. I'm swimming all the way to sea or to the shore. Okay? Jesus shows up and he wants to remind Peter that fishing's not what I called you to do. Okay? I called you to be a fisher of men, not a fisher of fish. I've got big plans for you, Peter, and you're not following them. So he eats breakfast with the disciples, and that's where we're going to pick up in John 21. Okay? Jesus says, just cook them breakfast. Okay? I don't know about you. John 21. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but if Jesus showed up and cooked me breakfast, like, I'd be on some spiritual high right now, okay? So, John 21, that's where we're going to pick up. For those that aren't there yet. 6:52. All right, so we're going to start in verse 15. It says, after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Okay, let me stop there for just a second. This, I think, was to get Peter's attention. Because he literally looks and says, Simon, son of John. That was what he called him. Simon was Peter's old name before he met Jesus. I think Jesus is acknowledging that Peter's being dumb. And he's gone back to his old way of life. Okay? So, he's literally saying, I understand what you're doing, and I don't approve. So, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know that I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So for each time that Peter denied Jesus, Jesus gave him another chance. Okay, he's asked him three times, do you love me? Do you legitimately love me? So when he's asking the question, do you love me more than these? What is the word these they're referring to? To other people? Animals? The fish? All right, so here's what it is. He's asking him, do you love me more than the nets and the boat and the fish that you have? Do you love me more than your old life? Your former career? Your wife? Any kids that you have? Do you love me more than any of these? Are you actually willing to give it all up, abandon everything, and follow me? That's what he's asking him. He asks us the exact same questions. Okay, you can literally take Simon, son of John, out of that thing, draw a line through it, and write your name right there in the Bible. Jesus is asking you the same thing. Do you love me more than all of this stuff? More than your iPhone? More than your grades at school? More than your parents? More than your friends? More than your streaks? So, if this is really the case, if we all sit here and answer yes to these questions, why do we keep going back to our old lives? It's comfortable. We don't want to be lost. So, at the very end of it, Jesus asks the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So Peter's hurt. He says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So Jesus tells him, hey, tend my sheep. Feed them. Take care of them. Stop fishing. Stop casting your nets out there and do the job that I gave you to do when I came. So moving down to verse 18. It says, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would die, or what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. So following Jesus requires a certain level of commitment. He's literally telling Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. I've just asked you if you're willing to give all this up. Now I'm going to tell you the consequences of following me. You're going to die a horrible death. Are you still willing to follow me? This call is three pieces. A call to love Jesus, a call to sacrifice for Jesus, and a call to follow him no matter what. See, we've got to decide that we don't care about our comfort more than we care about Jesus. That we don't care about being lost more than we care about Jesus. We don't care about our reputation more than we care about Jesus. The Lord asked him three times, do you love me? He's asking him because he wants to know, if you truly love me, this is what's going to happen. You follow what you love. Okay? Like, how many of you guys are like straight up Backstreet Boy fans? Okay? So the rest of y'all that are like, I don't even know who the Backstreet Boys are, okay? You're not following their music. You don't know about their career. If I asked you when their next tour date was, you would have no clue. I don't follow them. Okay, see, Ethan's a perfect example. I thought they were dead. Bro, they're like my age, okay? Get off me. I'm not dead. So, but if I looked at Ivy and I said, Ivy, when's the next One Direction song CD coming out? One Direction is dead. So, like, if I Google them, it's going to be like the obituaries. Oh, okay. Gotcha. The career is dead. Okay. Either way, you pay attention to, you focus on, you follow the things that you love. So Jesus is asking him here, are you actually going to follow me because you love me? Is this what's going to happen? The other piece, you're going to serve what you love. If you love Jesus, naturally you love the church. I'm not talking about the building, but the body that is the church. So are you willing to serve the church? Okay, that's what Jesus is asking him. Are you willing to serve those who love me? And the final thing he says, you actually sacrifice for what you love. See, if you had the option between taking a test, let's say your teacher gives you like a take-home final exam, and going to a concert of like your favorite band or group ever, you're going to be like, I'll worry about that test later. I'll finish it in the morning right before school starts or something because I'm going to this concert. You're going to make a sacrifice for that band because you love them. Okay? So Jesus is saying the same thing. Will you make sacrifices in life because you love me? Or are you going to keep doing what you do? So the question, the big key question is, do you love me? Do you love Jesus? So here's the obvious point. Love fails when it disobeys. Like, what happens when you disobey your parents? You get a booty whooping? Okay, you get yelled at? You get put in a corner? All right, from now on, when Danica gets in trouble, I'm going to go put her in a corner because that I want to see. I'm like, die. Danica, get in a corner. I just want to see her in a corner. She's... That's greatness. I love it. All right. Hey, keep that in mind. Karis?
No, don't keep that in mind.
All right. So, here's the thing. I don't care what emotion you choose to feel about Jesus. I don't care what kind of tears or little feeling wells up in you when you sing certain worship songs or whatever. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about legitimate love, not just this emotion thing. When you disobey your parents, it puts stress on that relationship. When you disobey Jesus, the same stress is on that relationship. So when he says, hey, don't neglect the meeting together of one another, which is like really big King James language for don't not go to church, and we choose to disobey that, it puts stress on that relationship with Jesus. Okay? So, you follow what you love. You serve what you love, and you sacrifice for what you love. Why is this important? Why does this interaction between Jesus and Peter matter? It shows us that Jesus does not allow our past mistakes to prevent him doing great things through us. Okay? Peter messed up. His devotion for Jesus slipped. He denied him 3 times. In Peter's mind, he's done. Like, he quit. Hey, I was a disciple once, but now I'm done. I screwed up. So he went back to his old life. How often do we do the exact same thing? Okay? Think about this for a second. Don't raise your hand unless you want to be thoroughly embarrassed. Okay? Last year at camp, you made some crazy decision. I'm done being dumb. I'm done doing my own thing. I'm not going to do it my way, blah, blah, whatever wording you put in there. And within 2 weeks, you were back doing the exact same thing that you were doing before you showed up. Like, that's how our life works. We decide we're going to make this unbelievable decision for God and live for God and do things different, and then we slip up. We make a mistake. We do something dumb. And we decide, you know what, forget it. I've already messed up. I'm going back to my old life. It's not worth it for me anymore. So every single week, in some way, shape, or form, we deny Jesus just the same way Peter did. But Jesus is saying, I still have a calling on your life. He still wants to restore you just like he did Peter. Think about this one for just a minute. Who betrayed Jesus? Judas? Who? The Jewish people? We're not there yet. Who else betrayed Jesus? Huh? All right, fine. Us? So, maybe this Peter guy that we're talking about, just a thought. Okay? So, Peter betrays Jesus. Who's the one that initiated the restoration? Was it Peter or was it Jesus? Jesus. He's not looking for you to turn around and go, oh, I forget, I've got to go back to God and go make this thing, you know, better. Jesus is the one initiating this thing for us. The one who was betrayed is the one who's restoring this picture. Like, isn't that always the opposite of how it works in the real world? If you find out that one of your friends does something dumb to you, and one of your friends is like, hey, you should really go make up with them, what do we normally say? No. It's not my responsibility, right? Yeah, they're the ones that made me mad. It's their job. Somehow Jesus, being 10 times better than we are, says, hey, I know. I totally understand that Aaron acted like an idiot and betrayed me. But I'm going to go make it right with Aaron. He's not waiting for Aaron to come to him. He's doing the same for all of us. Some of you guys have decided, you know what? I'm done with this church thing. I'm done with this faith thing. I'm here because my parents make me come. But I've made so many mistakes that God can't use me anymore. I wonder what would legitimately happen if we walked around without that mindset. Instead of thinking God can't use me anymore, if we actually walked around saying, you know what? I have a plan in the sight of God himself. And he's going to use me for something great no matter what I did in my past. He's going to use me to change the world no matter what I did in the past. So Peter, the guy that didn't make it into the high school, college world, if you will, in Jewish education. Peter, the guy that truthfully, when Jesus showed up the first time to call him to be the disciples, wasn't doing a very good job of a fisherman. Peter, the guy that failed as a disciple because he betrayed Jesus and denied him. The one that stepped out of the boat when Jesus is walking on water, takes his eyes off him and sinks. This same guy is the same one that Jesus turned around and said, I'm going to restore you. I have a great plan for you. Jesus gets taken up into heaven. 40 days later, at a thing we call Pentecost, Peter's the one standing there preaching the word. And he preaches the word with such a boldness, such an understanding, that 3,000 people get saved in one day. The same guy. So, what is it in your life that you think you've done that disqualifies you from being used by God? Because like Peter, the dude literally walked face to face with Jesus. They were like homeboys. And he turned around and straight up said, I don't know him and I never did. So what is it that you think you've done that disqualifies you? Because see, there's nothing. There's nothing that he's not going to pursue. We look at this story, Jesus restored Peter. He then turned around as soon as he got restored and said, go finish the work that I started. What's he tell him? He said, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Like he knew he had messed up and still said, I want you to go continue what I told you to do. Like this should give us hope. Like, God is the master of taking broken people and turning them into something amazing. He does it throughout the entire Bible. Okay? Look at this. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab, yeah, one time when you get really bored, look this one up. In Matthew 1, where it talks about the genealogy of Jesus, his family tree, Rahab's in there. Yeah, she was a prostitute. Okay? Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. They're about your age. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate locusts. Lazarus was dead. And Peter denied Christ. Like, take that list of the greatest heroes inside the Bible, stack them all up, and let me know where you stack up. Because I'm pretty sure it's not close. Like, if you've messed up, you're in good company. You're in the same company with all the people that are here and all the people that are inside this room. And God still has a plan to use each and every single one of you. To commission you out to go take care of his people, to feed his people, and to win lost for him. But we've got to decide we're going to get over our own mess and go forward. So I'm telling you, Satan wants nothing more than for you to sit there and do nothing because of your past. Do what? Yeah, you're letting him win. Like, he's the one sitting there in the back of your mind going, God couldn't use you because you did this. Why would you let the devil win? Like, why do we keep going back to doing the exact same thing over and over again? Your past mistakes don't stop God from changing your future. If he can do it for Peter, he's going to do it for each and every single one of us. He's literally saying, you're restored. All you got to do is accept it. Now that you've been restored, go feed my sheep. The question is, are you actually going to do it, or are you just going to have a whole nother camp experience of, man, Aaron, you're right. I did dumb. I need to be better. And you're going to walk out these doors and tomorrow's going to be exactly the same as it was before. It's up to you. But at some point, we've got to make the decision that we're done letting our past decide what our future is going to be. Like, I get it. We've got a whole mixture of people in this room that have pretty much every single problem known to man. My dad doesn't love me. My mom wasn't there. My dad did drugs. My mom did drugs. Pick one. And yet God still wants to use each and every single one of us. You've got to make the decision for yourself. Let's pray. We'll move on to small groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, this word, God. We thank you that you love us enough to restore us. You love us in spite of each and every one of our mistakes. God, we thank you that your heart is for the broken person. Your heart is for those that aren't perfect. Your heart is for those that have made mistakes. God, your heart was for each and every one of us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. God, let us all be so thankful for that we choose to live each and every day for you in a different way and in a different manner, in a better place than we have before. We ask that this message sinks in, and then we change and we are different because of it. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.